Tonight we're going to look at Haggai chapter 2. I know the last time that I preached out of the book of Haggai. But there's at least two chapters in Haggai, so I'm not really going to cover anything that I haven't covered. But sometimes it's really hard for us to have a stick-to-itiveness about us in this world. There's a lot of us that, and me sometimes included, I have a hard time of sticking to something and finishing it. I get tired and I put it off and I put it off, and I know that if you have kids at home, you watch it all the time. They put off their homework until it's late, and then they hope that they can turn it in late. If you were in college, you did that a lot, I'm quite sure. But that has become an outdated concept in our life, of being able to finish something that we have started, right? It doesn't come easy. Why in the world would I want to pursue it? Why would I want to take on something that's hard? And for a lot of people, that's the kind of mindset they have. It's really hard, so I'm really not going to do it. If it requires any kind of endurance on my part, maybe it's just not what I want to be a part of. It's an easy thing to start, but it's a hard, tough thing to hang in and work throughout a lifetime and work through problems that arise. And that kind of describes the people in Haggai's day. And if you remember back in Haggai chapter 1, we talked about putting first things first. They had let the temple fall into ruins, and after they come back from captivity and they weren't rebuilding it and they weren't doing the things they needed to. And if you remember, I told you the temple was a center of worshiping God. It represented the heart and soul of the Old Testament. Although God is everywhere, the temple was a place on this earth where God dwelled in a special sense. And for the temple to lie in ruins was a neglect of their worship of God. And it's the same thing for our temple. For our temple to, our body to lie in ruins, it's a neglect for our worship of God. And so, if I'm going to look here, and it says this in chapter 1. It says, "For I've called..." Excuse me, that's not right. Let me get to the right one. Yes, it is. "Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I've called a drought on the land and the mountains and the grain and the new wine and oil and whatever the ground brings forth, and men and livestock, and all in the labor of your hands." And throughout all of this, there needed to be an obedience. And so we look through here, and it says, "So the Lord," in verse 14, it says, "The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. And this was the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius." And so when we start chapter 2, this is about a month or so later. It's not that much time that we start chapter 2 and we find that they've already given up on building the temple. So if you'll stand and we read chapter 2. It's not up there. So PowerPoint, we'll forego it. In chapter 2 it says this: "In the seventh month of the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, 'Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth and sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." Brother Mike, it's good to have you here tonight. Would you lead us in a word of prayer? So throughout these first 9 verses that we read in the second chapter, God wants to encourage those of you who are discouraged. He wants to encourage those who have stopped working on the temple. He wants to encourage those who have been run over with this year. And I see that for myself. I need encouragement. How many of y'all need encouragement? God knows and He understands what you're going through. That's something we all need to remember and realize, that He understands. We're just not out here on our own, just going through life without God knowing what we're going through. As His children, that's how much He cares for us. God understands. And in verse 3 it says, "Who is left among you that you saw this temple in its former glory?" There's people still around. Who is left among you that saw the temple when Solomon was there? The temple in all of its glory. Who's left? And how do you see it now? We can think back and we can look. Man, before I went to Israel, victory was going. People were coming. Life was good. I came back from Israel. People stopped. Now, we had a problem. We had a pandemic. But people stopped. And I don't say that to hurt anybody's feelings or to say that we did wrong. I say that because people stopped. And they've still stopped. And it's not just victory. It's every place else. I can look back and I can see the glory God had here. And it's still here. But His people have stopped. And it's worrisome to me that now I have kids that see the people that should be here, and they're looking to them for leadership and for guidance, and they're not here. That's my children that I'm worried about. And God says the same thing. Who was here to see what was there? And why are you not still here working? If you can remember it, why don't you get it back? The Lord does not gloss over or ignore the situations they're going through. He understands. He understands there's fear. He understands that there was a bunch of feasts and they got going and they lost the excitement of building the temple. How many of y'all were excited to come back to church when we opened back up? Man, how many people weren't? I want you to think about this. Just say, this is a message of encouragement, but I see God saying that to us. Where did your excitement go? There's always a certain sense of excitement when we begin stuff. Doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if you begin on a baseball team for the spring. It doesn't matter if you begin a new meal that you've never cooked before. There's some kind of excitement that's there. Something that draws you in and something that gets you going. Man, building that temple back had to be an exciting time. But for some reason, the excitement was gone and the enthusiasm was wearing thin. I don't want us to be that church. I don't want us to be that people of God where our excitement is gone and enthusiasm wears thin because 2020 is way too long. God blessed us with 300 and this is a leap year, right? 66 days, is that right? Something like that. 2020 is way too long. I want the Lord to come back and shorten it to whatever this is, 302 or whatever it is. But then the excitement's gone. If you're excited about God, if you're watching tonight, if you're excited about God, keep the excitement going. Keep it going. There's always some kind of delay. Oh, well, things haven't gone quite the way we want them to. The pandemic's still here. All these other things are going. There's always some kind of delay that pushes things back. And it's easy to forget what the Lord has for us during that time. Now, in verse 5, it says this. according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains with you. Do not fear. There was some reason they were fearful of what was going on. Some reason that he told them, don't be fearful. It's the same thing he's telling us tonight. Don't fear. I'm with you. There's always some kind of opposition. And right now we're fighting a battle with darkness like nothing else I've seen in my 47 years. There's always something there. Man, you think about this. Those who were young, they had no idea. Those new people that come to Victory right now, because they are looking for something, coming to church, they're guests of ours, they want to come and hear, they don't know what Victory used to be like. But you do. And there's that difference between the young, the new folks, the old folks, all of that thing. Those that had seen Solomon's temple wept at the new temple. Have you wept about what's going on right now? To remember what we were like. Have you wept about empty pews? Guys, this has really got to me. To look, we sat in the balcony on Sunday mornings because of this stupid Rona stuff. But to look, and to look at spots where my brothers and sisters used to sit, it's hard on me. And for those who look and see what we were, man, it just doesn't measure up to what we can be today, what's going on. Whatever your source of discouragement, I want you to understand that God understands and He cares. If you're discouraged about coming to church, if you're discouraged about worshiping Him, if you're discouraged about taking a stand, He understands why and He cares. But He's not going to collar you and tell you that's okay for you to stay there. He wants you to move. He wants you to work. And He wants you to do the things that are needed to be done for His honor and His glory. Verse 4 says this, Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work. You see, three times here, He said, be strong. Three times, He said, take courage. Three times, He said, be strong, Kelly. And be strong, Doug. And be strong, Michael. And be strong, Ken. And you put your name in there. That's what He said. He said, be strong. He tells them to work, just like He's telling me and He's telling you. He said, be strong and work. Don't stop. Don't stop. And there's two aspects with this kind of work. To be strong, you got to have the right attitude. And the people had the wrong attitude. They got overwhelmed. They didn't really know what to do. And so their attitude was wrong. They were weak because they had forgotten their focus was supposed to be on the Lord. And they placed their focus on so many other things. They had focused on the slow, disappointing progress of the temple. Man, how easy is that for us to do tonight? To focus on the slow process of getting through 2020. It's not going fast. And it is discouraging. But we have to have the right attitude and be strong. Have you ever noticed how much your attitude affects your willingness to persevere through things? Man, my attitude can get rotten really quick. And when my attitude gets rotten, I don't care if you know it's rotten or not. And I know a lot of you are sitting out there going, yep, you're exactly right. I know your attitude's rotten. But the fact of the matter is, when your attitude's rotten, everybody else knows too. So does the Lord. If you're motivated, you can stay up all night to finish a project, right? Every minute you ever built something, you just couldn't stop until it was finished. Yeah, you keep going. You stay up. But when you're discouraged, you could care less if it got done or not, right? And I pray that we're not discouraged about church. I pray that we're not discouraged about serving our Lord and Savior. Because if we are discouraged and we have the wrong attitude, we could care less if it happens or not. Just like they could care less if the temple got built or not. As Americans, we're far too easily emotionally fragile. If someone offends us, we get our feelings hurt and we drop. We're just done. We could care less if that spot needs to be filled or not. Oh, they hurt my feelings. I'm out. Someone doesn't do what is expected, so we just quit. Someone criticizes what we're doing and we say, I'm out. You see how easy that is? For our attitude to just go, you know what, the Lord wants me to do this, but Jackie, she didn't smile at me today. So I'm not going to do that. And it's the same way with you. It's simple for those attitudes to happen and affect us in a wrong way. But God says this, be strong. And He's not talking about you be strong in your own might. He's talking about be strong with what He has. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Man, how great that is for me to remember that I am sufficient upon a Lord God Almighty that has all the strength that I need to change my attitude, to get me through whatever is in my way. Have the attitude that hangs in there in spite of obstacles, in spite of 2020. When we start seeing things the way God sees things, things get better. 12 spies. Y'all all remember the 12 spies? I think you mentioned them this morning. 12 spies. They went into the land of Canaan. 10 came back and said, nope, can't do it. There's giants. 2 came back and said, that's all right. Numbers 14:9. It's kind of a paraphrase. Because God is with us. He has promised us that the land, and we will eat them for lunch. But He'll give them to us. He'll give us this land. He will make sure that it is ours. See, the right attitude went in. 12 people saw the same thing. 2 came out and said, we've got to be strong because God is on our side. Be strong in your attitude. The next part of having the right attitude is right action. How many of your actions is, that's a good couch right there. I'm going to sit on it for a little while. I do that way too much at home. But I think that's where we become as a nation. And I pray that's not where we become as a church, where we find a good spot and sit there. The attitude provides the motivation, but motivation without work won't get the temple built. Lord said, work. Joshua and Caleb had the right attitude and they trusted in the Lord. But they still had to go into the land and fight the giants. Y'all get that, right? Just because we have the right attitude and we're willing to work doesn't mean that we get to just go, okay, God's got it taken care of. We still got to go fight those giants. David still had to go fight the giant. God took care of the battle, but he still had to go. To persevere, we must not only be strong, but we must also do the work. God encourages us in the service for Him by showing that He understands what we're feeling and what He cares. And He tells us, be strong and work. In the last part of verse 4 and verse 5, it says, for I am with you. Whew. If that doesn't just get you your button pushed right there and your power button turned on and you're ready to go, I don't know what will. He said, work, and He said, I'm with you. The Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains with you. And again, He says, do not fear. He told His nation of Israel, look guys, I'm not going to leave you. He tells us, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to come back and get you. God assures with His presence. I know God is here. I know God is in this building right now. And I know, more importantly, God is here inside my life. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior tonight, you're sitting here going, well, Kelly, I really don't have any care to do anything. Well, I'm going to tell you, Jesus instills that inside you. I shut it off way too many times, but Jesus instills that inside me because that's where He is. He's always working. He's alive. He's not scared. And that's where I get it from, because He lives inside of me. God assures me by His promise. God has made a better covenant with us than He did with them. Jesus sealed that new covenant with His own blood. He said, I am going to come back and get you. We grow discouraged in our service for Him. We should remember that the promise that He would not leave us as orphans, but He'll come back and get us. John 14:18. I told you He lives inside of me. That Holy Spirit, He gives me that want, and He enables me through that to serve Him. Chapter 2, verse 9 says this. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of the host. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. He says, you remember what it used to be like? Guess what I'm fixing to do? I'm fixing to make it greater. And so I want you to hear that tonight. The Lord says, you remember what victory used to be like? I'm going to make it greater on the other side of this. And I hope you're praying towards that end. God has a purpose. You may not see it, but take courage. As God builds, He builds more than you actually get to see. There's so much that God is doing that I can't see and that I don't see, because my attitude is wrong and my action is wrong. It's my prayer tonight that as a church, we're ready. Know that God has enabled you to serve Him. Know that God has given you an opportunity to persevere through all. And if you're discouraged in the service of the Lord, He wants you to be encouraged and persevere for His honor and His glory, not for ours. I'm not a numbers guy, but I would love to see every seat in this place filled. I'm not a numbers guy, but I would love to see every heart in this world changed and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You know, it's time that we as a church look at the example that the nation of Israel gave us and just sit there and looked at the temple as it was just laying there flat in ruins. Maybe some of them were thinking that, man, Solomon's temple was so great, we'll never get anything like that again. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, where God is, that's where great is. I want that back here. I want that back here in me. And it's going to start with me. And so tonight, I'm going to challenge you that you pray that these pews will be filled, that these pews will be not just filled, but filled with people who are wanting to serve the Lord. That the scared is gone out of this nation. That we stand for a Savior who has done everything for us. And not worry about the preservation of this life, but worry about the life that we are going to have in eternity with Him. I don't know what else to say, but I'm going to take that challenge. That my heart will be changed. That I want people to come and rejoice with their brothers and sisters. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't rejoice with your brothers and sisters. And I would like to invite you into the family. That you would come and you would know Jesus Christ as a Heavenly Father, so you can spend eternity with Him. As you stand tonight, Brother Dale comes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. We thank You for allowing us to come to You in prayer. And Father, I just come to You and I apologize. Father, for my attitude being wrong, for my action not being there. Father, I just thank you for continuing to love me through that. Father, I just pray for our church. I just pray for the members. Father, I pray for the new ones that you will send. That our halls will be joyous. That the sanctuary will be filled with praise. And Father, that we give you all the honor and glory. Father, I love you and I praise you. In your name I pray. Amen.